Hey, this is Rebecca Dirks with PremierGuitar.com. We are here inside of Steve Vai's studio, Lair, amazing guitar museum area, checking out, well, obviously your guitars, but we're going to talk about kind of the gear that you used recording and the gear you're going to be using live. And there, if you want to show around this room, there's so many guitars in here. It's really incredible. But what do you have pulled out here that you really have been using in the studio and that you're thinking of taking out live?
Well, you know what? All of these guitars, I probably own about, I think, 263 guitars is the count right
now. You think probably. That's pretty exact.
Right now. And I keep giving them away, but they just keep showing up. So, but the guitars that I collect are actually not vintage as much as they are sentimental or usable. You know, like if you notice, a lot of these guitars are very different. You know, there's seven strings, there's baritone guitars, there's small guitars, there's heart guitars, there's, you know, double necks and all sorts of stuff. But I used to have them all in storage. And whenever I needed one, I'd have to see what I have and then send somebody to get it. So I thought, okay, I'm building this room. I might as well hang them all on the wall. And it looks kind of juicy, too.
Oh, kind of.
You know,
yeah,
I love this walking in here going, So I can just come in and just pick a guitar and pick an amp and then just go for it, you know. But for the most part, the record that I just finished, it's called The Story of Light. The guitars I used, usually this is the guitar that I use probably 60% of the time. This is Evo, which is a gem, and most people know the story of the gem. And it just... You know, I just have a connection. You know, you infuse a guitar with a personality, and it's based on, you know, the secrets you tell it and the DNA from your sweat and blood, you know, and just the relationship you have with it. And I know it's a very plain-looking guitar, but there's a lot of emotional investment in it. So it develops a personality. I mean, it's just wire and wood, you know, but you give it this personality, and this is the guitar for me. It's not even the easiest guitar to play, you know, but it sounds great, and it's a unison. The frequencies of the piece of wood for the body and the neck are the same, and usually that's hard to find. But that makes the notes sing a certain way. So I use this a lot. Any questions?
And you use that heavily on the album?
Heavily, yeah. And look at that. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
This guy in China made that for me.
Are you taking that out on the road?
Oh, yeah. She goes everywhere with me. I actually sleep with her sometimes. She has both an input jack and a whammy bar. Okay, this guitar, you know, I broke out the seven string for a bunch of tracks on this record, which I haven't done in a while. And this is the one that I like the most. It's the burnt seven string. And what this is really is a dipped guitar, which was, you know, there's some of them around. Ibanez made these dipped guitars. And I just took a blowtorch, and I just burnt it up, and then I scraped it up. And I got this, and it just has a nice tone and a nice feel. And, you know, you go back and forth. I had a lot of trouble going back and forth between a six string and a seven string. But now it's much easier. And I use this on Weeping China Doll, Valorum, The Story of Light. This is the new gem that Ibanez just came out with, and it's the bones of the gem have been the same for 25 years, which makes it the longest running signature series guitar in history and the most successful, which I'm very grateful for. But we're always trying to mix it up and come up with something a little different. And usually it's the aesthetic that's different. I mean, if you look at these guitars here, this is fabric under there. And the fabric came from my curtains. When I was living in Hollywood, we had these curtains fabrics, and I really liked it. And I thought, that would make a great guitar. And the interesting thing about having the fabric underneath here is it creates a, you know, it has an effect on the sound. And I think these are some of the best sounding gems, is the one with the fabric. It was a very successful run. And as a result, a couple of years ago, Ibanez was interested in doing sort of like a kickback to the floral pattern. So I went and I found this fabric, which I like very much too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, these are some of the fun, creative things you can do when you're Steve Vai. You know? And this is a great, this is the DNA guitar. And the DNA guitar was a 10th anniversary. And what it was the reason why they call it a DNA guitar, and this was Ibanez's idea, which was odd coming from them. They wanted to mix my blood in the dip for this short run of guitars. You know, you just do a short run. And I thought, that's pretty macabre, you know, and that's weird for Ibanez to... But I said, okay. So I went down to the local hospital, and I didn't give a little bit of blood. I gave a lot. I mean, vials of Vi blood, you know. It was like, I felt like a Kiss comic book, you know. And they dumped it into the you know, the vat, and you can actually see that's all my blood.
Oh my God.
It's kind of weird. And I think, you know, I told Ibanez that, you know, like in 100 years, if they get cloning down, and if they can take this, you know, pieces of this blood and take the DNA from it and clone me and make another Steve Vai, maybe that guy can get his fucking music on the radio. Anyway, this is a great model too. This is the 20th anniversary, and it's got it's very heavy. It's like a dipped guitar, but the dip is on the inside, and it's got this really cool. Wrong knob. Oh, the battery's dead, but it's got a light in it, and it illuminates the whole guitar. Very cool. But this is the new Seafoam Green, and like I say, it's really great to be able to have the opportunity to experiment so much with guitars and stuff. And this one, I got the idea for the color. I was in a parking garage, and I saw an old Thunderbird, and it was painted Seafoam Green. And, you know, these people who collect these cars are very serious about these, you know, the paint jobs and everything. I wanted to eat the color, you know. It was like a candy, and I said, I gotta have a guitar that color. So I researched the color, and this was what came out: a Seafoam Green. Very cool.
I know some of the guitars have the sustainer, and
yes, this
other
one
stuff.
Does have the sustainer. The production models don't, but I do use the sustainer. I started using it a lot about 10 years ago. I've pulled back. Because, you know, you don't want to keep repeating yourself. You don't want to keep repeating yourself. This was a guitar that I actually had made for the Experience Hendrix tour. I had two of them, this one and there's one over there. And I hand-painted this. And the thing about it, I'm going to get some light on it. It was a tip of the hat to Jimmy, because he had hand-painted his Monterey guitar. And it was very psychedelic. 60s psychedelic. So I thought, what can I do that's kind of like, you know, 2000 psychedelic, you know? And I took Sharpies, you know, and I just painted this and trying to, you know, my version of what contemporary psychedelic would be. And, you know, I got my son to put his hand on there. And I got lyrics and all this. And I was so proud of it, and I showed it to, like, my wife, and she goes, it looks like a 12-year-old girl painted it.
Oh, no.
And I went, screw you. And that's the cherry blossom guitar.
Now, I noticed on a lot of these they have some scallop frets here.
Yeah.
But you don't do that with all of the guitars.
No, gems are have the scallop on the top. And I like that because, you know, you get up here in these frets and it's really hard to grab the string when they're that small. And I remember some of my guitars, like Flow 3, which I used a lot on the record. This one I used a lot because it's got the sustainer and it's just, it just feels good. This is, the whole guitar is slightly scalloped. But it doesn't matter if you slightly scallop it or heavily scallop it. It's going to be the same pretty much. So I use that, and I remember, you know, Yngwie scallops his necks. He gave me a guitar. It's right over there. And we were talking about scallop necks once, and in perfect, you know, beautiful Yngwie-ism, he says to me, I like when this neck's a scallop, man, because you can really grab the note by the balls. thought that was brilliant. So that's my Cherry Blossom guitar. Right. These are different than the other Cherry Blossom guitar, but basically I was doing this Hendrix tour and I wanted to have that, you know, you can't really ever get that Hendrix sound because it was in his fingers, but I wanted that single coil sound, so I had them make me these single coil pickups that are very traditional to Stratocasters.
DiMarzio,
yeah. And this is my hand. My big hand.
You're
put your hand on there.
We can do that's yes, that's insane.
Yeah.
Hear that. So you did use this one too on the album.
On the record. You know, I'm convinced that I've willed my hand to be as big as they are. I really am, because you know what? When I was a kid, the idea of having really big hands was just so fascinating to me, and I used to just stare at my hands and say, "Grow, grow, grow," and it's like it worked. You become like a self-fulfilled prophecy. Yeah. You put the energy out there, and what's funny is this left hand is bigger than the right hand. You know,
so you looked at the left hand more.
I did. The right hand was busy doing other things when you're a teenager.
Okay, quickly on this one real quick. It's the only one without the rosewood board, right? You're mostly using...
You know, that one and... yeah. Yeah, usually I like rosewood. The maple necks have a little more of a kind of a warmth to them, but they don't bite as much. But you need that when single coil pickups because they're so bright. I have a record called The Ultrazone. And the Ultrazone, on the cover, it's this illustration of me as this kind of alien character, and I'm playing this really weird guitar. So Alistair took it upon himself to make this guitar for me, and here it is. It's the Ultrazone guitar. It's really very cool. And he made the case, too. Isn't that cool? And what's really cool is I got lights in it. You get that on your camera? You know? And it's really easy to play, you know? I mean, it sits really nicely, you know, the way it's got this horn, you know? And it's just the scale length of the neck is kind of wild. It feels really cool, you know?
So you're taking that out on tour, right?
Yeah, I'm going to play the Ultrazone.
Nice.
And not only that, but I'm developing this outfit. That's what, here, I'll show you.
All right.
It's going to look something like this. Because my tech, Thomas Nordig, is like this electronics freak. And he gets really into these LEDs. And he researched all these new contemporary LEDs. And there's like these pipes that, you know, you can flip and they turn into all these covers. And he made me this faceplant that has like this really high-powered laser. And the lights on the face that just, you know, and we're making an outfit.
Wow.
It'll be bigger. This is the Stonehenge version. But all these will be lights and stuff, and I'll be wearing this while I'm playing this.
And there's gonna be something to see.
Yes, and hopefully playing the right notes.
If not, you'll be very bright and flashy, and it'll be okay.
They'll never notice.
Yes. Yeah. Be blinded by LEDs.
That's right. And turning all sorts of colors and stuff. So that's the Ultrazone guitar. Very cool.
Yeah, it's amazing. You've got all sorts of legacy amps back here. So you want to talk about which ones that you used on the album, which ones you'll be using live?
Yeah, sure. You know, it's kind of like the way I approach guitars. I use a variety. Like on the record, I used a lot of different guitars, but usually they were textural, you know, background stuff. For the most part, I used the Gems and Evo and Flow for the leads. And it's the same thing with the amps, and it's just a comfort level thing. You know, a lot of times I think, okay, I got to use something different. I got to get a totally different sound. And I go and I plug it in, and I get all these amps, and people send me amps and everything, and they have tone qualities and sounds, and I use them occasionally, but usually I go right back to this because these guitars and this equipment is custom built specifically to my ear and my fingers, so it's like just a comfort zone. It's like home. And The first one, I had a long-standing relationship with Carvin since the 80s, early 80s. And I think it was maybe in the 90s we started talking about making a custom amp. And I wanted something very simple, because although my music is complex at times, I really like simplicity when it comes to amps and stuff and gear. Because, you know, who wants to sit there and kind of like, you know, try to figure stuff out, you know? So it's a very simple amp, and it basically, there's two channels. There's a dirty channel. It's got a, oh, I shouldn't move that. I'm actually in the middle of recording something. So I got, you know, just presence, treble, mid, bass, drive, and volume, and that's it, you know? And a clean channel that has similar. And there's effects loops, and there's conventional kind of stuff in the back. And you can flip it to different wattages and stuff. But you want to continue to evolve and try to, you know, improve. And we came up with the Legacy 2, which I actually don't have here, but I didn't use it on the record. I ended up not liking it as much as I liked the Legacy 1. But I was feeling limited because there was only two channels. And also, there was no master volume. And I really like to be able to turn the level down without changing the tone, which is very rare, because a lot of times the master volume is before the preamp on most amplifiers. So we designed this here, the Legacy 3, which actually has three channels, same infrastructure, you know, as Legacy 1. So it sounds more like the Legacy 1 than the Legacy 2 sounds like the Legacy 1. But it has another channel, and it has sections that actually affect all the channels, so you get more variety. And then I come out of the amp, and I go into my pedal board here. And the pedal board out of the front of the amp is pretty simple. It's Ibanez Gemini distortion pedal, which I designed, and it's got two distortions in it, which are kind of nice. And I'm using Dunlop Wah-Wah and a Bad Horsey Wah-Wah, which is a Morley that I designed. This is part of the fractal unit, which I'll explain in a moment. And then I just kind of like put different pieces of gear in just to try out different pedals. You know, I usually find a wild, wacky pedal that I use for a minute, and then I don't like it. These are some new pedals I got, the Red Witch stuff, that I'm trying out, and I kind of like them a lot. This is the switcher for the Axe effects system. I used to have what was the size of refrigerators for racks, you know, with all sorts of gear. And also, because back then, there was only one thing that did a chorus, and then there was only one thing that did delay, and only one thing that did phase, you know, so you had to go, blah, 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 blah. So then multiple processors came along, and most of them sounded like crap to me. They're like toys, you know, the people weren't really putting the technology into them. And a lot of times, the stuff is like a playground for the, you know, for the intellect of a geeky designer. So you get gear that's impossible for a musician to figure out and doesn't sound good, you know. So I went through a lot of that for many years, and then I found this. And I mean, I didn't find it; it found me. It's a very popular device. And out of any device I've ever used, any effects processor, for my ear, this seems to have the most transparency, which means it sounds the most like just plugging directly into the front of an amp, you know, which is really nice. But it's extremely powerful. It's almost like rocket science, you know. I mean, you have to learn how to use it, you know. I mean, you can just plug it in and, you know, put up some settings and it's good. But when you start getting into like all the parameters of it, I mean, you can give yourself a hernia, you know. With just pushing buttons. And that's basically what I use. Now, I don't necessarily use it very much on the record, because when I record, I like to get a very direct signal, and then I put various processors on it from inside. But I did use it on some stuff.
So you will be using it live.
Oh, that's my rig.
All right.
That's my
rig. And you've got the
foot controller. This is the foot controller for it. So, you know, I've got like chorus. You got the whammy pedal, delay, reverb, drive, and it was all this stuff. And there's, I'm not sure exactly how many banks, but there's There's five presets per each bank.
So you really have the foot controller set up like a bunch of little stomp boxes for you.
Yes, it is a bunch of little stomp boxes.
An expression pedal for the whammy.
And exactly, that's hooked up. And then the volume, I usually use a bad horsey. I'm sorry, not a bad horsey, a little alligator volume pedal, but because of the system I'm using now, the most practical thing to use is the volume that is an expression pedal for the fractal. Another thing that I love to fetish is guitar effects, stomp boxes and stuff, you know. It's like a guilty pleasure that guitar players love, but you know, where do they go? They disappear, and you know, where do you put them and all that? So I fulfilled a childhood fantasy by building these cabinets and putting all my pedals in them.
Wow.
Yeah. Usually filled, but I'm loaning some stuff out, and you know, and then all the wah-wahs are here. And it's all, they're all kind of like organized. I'm kind of neurotic that way.
Wow.
I like to keep things neat, but when I'm working, I like things to be really, I like to make them messy because it just feels like progress. And then when I'm done, I clean it all up.
It's a really amazing place you have here. You can just come in and pick anything.
You know, the strings under there, yeah, you know.
To get into just a few more minute details, when it comes to strings, picks, mm-hmm. and all that, what are you using in terms of string gauges and everything?
Well, I'm usually a 9 to 52, 42 guy, you know, and I think the 7 string is a 52. Some of the guitars are tuned down for songs like John the Revelator and Gravity Storm. So for those, I use like 10s.
And what do you tune them down to?
Those songs are tuned down. The entire guitar is tuned down a whole step. So even with heavy strings, they're kind of floppy. Yeah.
And any particular brand of strings?
Oh, yes, Ernie Ball. I've used them for years and years. It's you know, they're a solid company. They're great people. And, you know, it's interesting. They just came out with these new strings they call Cobalt. Yeah. And it's always been my feeling, you know, strings are strings, you know? I mean, how different can they be, you know? And I put these strings on, and at first I didn't like them. I was like, these are weird, man. They really feel different, you know? They like really slinky and pulling, you know? And then I started using them, and I you know, they just became, it started feeling more like the way a guitar should feel, you know? So I really liked them.
So how do you, what do you mean by more the way a guitar should feel like?
Well, when I play, I like to go into this zone. You know, it's almost like a trance. And when you're there, you're kind of like one with the instrument. You know what I mean? You try to be, you know, you can't, it's not something you can try to do. It's just something you have to shift into, you know? My wife says, "Have you turned into Steve Vai yet?" She says that to me before I go on stage. "Are you Steve Vai yet?" So, and when I'm playing, I really like to, you know, in that zone, everything is like just perfect, you know, and the way I move, the way the guitar moves, and I see videos of myself, and you know, I know why people criticize my facial expressions. Can't help it though. And why should I, right? I'm that guy. That weird guy that has the funny faces. But these strings, you ask, like, you know, what is it, why do they feel more like what a guitar? Maybe it's not that they feel more of what a guitar should feel like, but they feel more of what my zone feels like. You know, it's like they move, you know, more with my, you know, my emotional input.
Very cool. And what are you using picks-wise?
Well, I use these Ibanez picks. They're just, you know, it's funny because you can give me anything, and I you know, like if I'm going into an amp, I can make it work. But if I got the wrong pick, I just can't play, you know? And I have to go through a lot of different, first, I don't use Tortoise because I'm one of those, I'm not an animal activist, but I don't even like the idea of tortoise shell, whatever. So these are like a special kind of a plastic that just grips my fingers very nicely. And I have other picks that I but I don't use them because they're too smooth. I mean, if you feel that, it's a slight kind of a, sure. Yeah. And it's a good size, you know, it's a little bit bigger. And They're heavy, heavy picks. But I'll show you a trick. Like last night, I was playing for quite some time, and look what happened to that pick.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they get chewed down because I'm just grinding, you know. But if you ever have a pick that's chewed down and you don't have another one around, you go like this. You take a rug, and you go like this. See how that? And then you do the other side. And that doesn't do good things for the rug, but see?
There you go.
New pick.
Pick Tricks with Steve Bai.
Pick Tricks.
New series.
That's right.
It's just that. It's just over and over.
Over and over. Over and over.
You play, you shred the pick.
That's right. Yeah. Then you ruin your carpet.
Yes. All right. It's a hit.
It's a hit.
All right.
The closest thing I've had so far. All right.
All right. Well, we really appreciate you taking the time to show us around the guitars and your whole rig. Have a great tour.
All right, I will.
Thanks a lot.
All right.
This is Rebecca Dirks for PremierGuitar.com.